You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, one of my favorite guests, Julian Rose, joins us again from Poland. Julian is a champion of organic farming and a hands-on president of the International Coalition to Protect the Polish Countryside. He and his partner co-launched a highly successful campaign for a GMO-free Poland while leading a high-profile defense of peasant farmers, who he holds up as the true guardians of biodiversity throughout the world. As a result of their efforts, there are now GMO-free zones established in Poland, leading the way throughout our global community and setting the standards for what's possible. Additionally, Julian is a brilliant author and essayist. His first book is called Changing Course for Life, and his new book, In Defense of Life, Essays on a Radical Reworking of Green Wisdom, are both available at Amazon Books. You can find more on his website, www.julianrose.info. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Julian. Welcome back.
Hello, Lance. Good to hear you again.
You too.
We're becoming old friends, aren't we, on the air?
Oh, yes, we are. When I heard your voice coming on the line before we started, it was like a family member.
Exactly. I always have this rather amusing thought of the fireside chat when the temperature is probably about 80 degrees or whatever it is out there. And nevertheless, we've got to sit together by the fire. Well,
yes.
Never
and
mind,
boy,
you know.
Have things heated up.
Exactly. Anyway, Lance, you know,
yes.
Kicking straight off, as they say. It's a very strange time we're living in now, isn't it?
Oh, yes, very strange. Even stranger than the times that we've talked about before.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm wondering how you see that.
I was listening to a Bob Dylan song on one of his CDs, which we have in our car over here. And it's called Things Have Changed, I think it's called like that. But one of the lines is, people are crazy at times and times are strange. People are crazy and times are strange. And I thought, well, you know, that's a very good summary of the situation in life today, huh?
Oh, yes.
People are crazy and times are strange. And it's as though I've had the impression recently of living on two levels.
Mm-hmm.
One level is sort of like the disaster level of the state of society, the state of the status quo, the superficial level, you might even call it.
Uh-huh.
And you wake up in the morning and you clear eyes and you get out of bed and you think, God, you know, this crazy world, when is it ultimately going to change into something deeper, more profound, more real than this virtual reality world we live in today? And then on another level, I have this sort of deeper reflection, deeper sense of direction. And these two levels keep intercrossing each other and sometimes almost blending and confusing themselves, and then they have to be separated back out again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether that's an experience that a lot of people are sharing around the world today.
Oh, that's a good question, and I think it is. Because we've been in this great divide for decades now, where it seems like one aspect of society is taking us down a garden path with technology and transhumanism and chemtrails and all the wars and cyborg, you know, the list is endless. And then there are those like yourself and many others who are just simply taking action, coming from the heart and a spiritual connection, and forming small communities to restore the sanity and the organic nature of our bodies and our lives so that we can thrive. And so these two have been separated for so long, and now they are just, it seems as if they are about to separate. And I remember the words of, somebody said this along the way, let the dead bury the dead. And I think at some point you have to turn away from the insanity of a society's mishaps and their desires for control and domination of humanity and simply live your own life and follow your heart.
Well said. It's getting ever nearer that point.
Yes.
The difficulty we have is that we're fully engaged with the status quo, still battling on, you know, like old warriors.
Yes.
The last of the Mohegan, you know?
Yes.
And so consequently, we have a rather extreme situation because we're grappling with people whose brain frequencies seem to work on a very slow level. And very occasionally, you get a little chink of light where they lift a hand and say, yes, I think that's probably true what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of the time, we're just up against it, as they say. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we still feel that it's worth trying because every now and again you do get a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And you do get a situation where suddenly things suddenly fall into place and you can achieve something even within the level of the ordinary status quo. But,
yes.
And it is a big but, and we've been talking about this for 3 years, I think now, probably, or 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah, yes, easily.
It's definitely getting tougher. And we're getting older, and it's getting tougher. And that isn't an easy combination to deal with, you know?
Yes.
So anyway, I'm just going to mention that we're off anyway, Jadwiga and myself are off on a tour of northern Poland.
Oh.
Doing our workshops and lectures, which we do occasionally. We have funding from an organization in England to do this.
Wonderful.
And it's called Our Land, Our Food, Our Health.
Wow.
And that's going to be very interesting because we're dealing with political people, we're dealing with farmers, we're dealing with journalists, and we're dealing with people who are still stuck in a certain groove of thinking about food, about land, about health. But on the other hand, they're also listening out for something that might get them out of an increasingly big mess.
Mm.
You see, this is the interesting factor on the political level, that they're going to be dumped, a lot of politicians, if they don't show some humanity, common sense, and sense of vision.
Mm.
And they're beginning to realize this. So we're working with another unusual one at the moment. His name is Sahaiko. That's his second name. Yaroslav is his first name. And he belongs to an organization called the Cookish 15. Now, this Cookish guy is a man in his early 40s, probably, and he's a rock star.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a jazz player and rock star.
Cool.
And he suddenly decided he was going to stand. And this is in the elections a year ago.
Wow.
And he just said, look, I'm going to stand on a different voting system. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to tell anyone I've got any vision. I'm not going to tell anyone any of that crap. I'm just going to say I want a different voting system, which is more fair and that people get a chance, you know, to really elect the people who they want.
Right.
So he put his name out there. And an incredible thing happened. In the first couple of months of him being interviewed and seen on television and stuff like that, they got up to 20% of the vote interest in Poland.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But by the time the actual election came, it had fallen considerably, but he nevertheless got 12.5%, which means they have 40 MPs in the Polish parliament.
Wow.
And we're working with, and one of them was elected to be the chairman of the Agricultural Committee. So we seized the chance and we thought, look, this guy must be pretty flexible, pretty unusual, pretty open-minded. And if he's part of Cookish 15, therefore, let's try with him and see whether we can get the regulations changed in Poland, which are currently suffocating the small farmer because they don't let the small farmer sell his processed foods if they're done in a farmhouse. Only had a separate registered building and a registered this and a registered that. And none of these small farmers can afford it. and therefore they're squeezed out in favor of the supermarkets. So we decided we'll have a go at writing ourselves, that is the farmers and consumers who we know, writing a new act rather than waiting for the politicians to write it and launching it with this Cookish 15 group. And that's exactly what we did about 7 months ago. And here we are today with this act in the parliament being considered by the parliamentary panel. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, that's amazing.
It is rather amazing. Exactly. They've actually got it that far, you know. And this is an act written by people, not written by politicians.
Well, you know, I remember the last time we spoke, I think you were having difficulties with the EU.
Too right. Yeah.
And then the only thing that I've heard on over here about the EU is about England contemplating staying out of the EU. And we don't really get into those discussions because, you know, here in America, we don't care about anything that doesn't concern us.
Yeah, I know a bit about that.
Yeah.
Well, Lance, look, this is so true. And now the Brexit is what it's actually known as over here. Britain's exit.
Oh, yes.
Brexit. Yeah.
Yes.
In 1 week's time, literally, they have this vote. Is England going to be in or is England going to be out? This is based on a national referendum. And my God, you should really see it. It's quite crazy. I mean, you know, it's a vast smokescreen, I think, personally. Because I think actually it makes almost no difference, you know?
Right, but right.
They're making it seem as though it makes a big difference. And there's all sorts of dire warnings being put out by politicians that want us to stay in. Saying the economy will collapse, you know.
Oh, dear, yes, of course.
That would be
a blessing.
yeah, wouldn't it be a blessing? Too right.
Yes.
So there's a huge, huge thing going on about that. But the EU itself is tottering, you know. It's very unstable. There's a lot of countries now in deep trouble financially. They're all being rescued, in quotations, by the International Monetary Fund.
Yep.
The World Bank, the Central Bank of Europe, and some Japanese authorities.
Yeah.
What it means, as you well know, Lance, you and I well know, is that means they're being lent billions and billions of euros.
Yep.
At high interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
And they're being bankrupted, of course.
Yes.
So,
and then,
deliberately.
And then the assets stripped.
Surely they are. And then, you know, Greece has been through this, and the man who stood up and said, I'm going to make a real scene. Let's pull Greece out of this horror story. And he fell for the trap of being an important politician and an MP and then a prime minister. And he decided to go along with it. Well, now they've squeezed the very last pips out of Greece. And he looks like a tired man. And he's only been up there for 1 year.
Wow, it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, did you know this? And the listeners might like this part of it. Because at least the CIA is a name the American listeners will know about.
Yes.
And the CIA helped to form the European Union in the first place. I've been doing the research about this. And the Bilderbergers were the first group to get together and plan the founding of the European Union. And that was in 1955 in Rome.
Uh-huh.
3 years later, the European Economic Community came into being, the common market, as it became known. And it came into being on the back of a fascistic concept of a centralized super state, which was actually what the founding father called Jean Monnet wanted to happen. He wanted a federal Europe, but he wrote to a colleague right back then saying, look, we're going to go for a federal Europe, but we're going to make it look like an economic communion of the various different nations, a shared economic marketplace. But in fact, it'll be a work towards a federation. Now, further research into this revealed that the plan of the trading bloc concept, in Europe at least, started in the Third Reich, Nazi Germany.
Yes.
Yeah, and then was a predecessor for that was the Royal Society in England in the 1920s. They wanted an extension of the old empire into Europe because the empire, of course, around the globe was collapsing by then. But they wanted to keep the concept of empire going. So they developed this concept of trading blocks, which was picked up by Hitler. And then, subsequently, immediately after the Second World War, the Bilderbergers sat around and decided that this should be the future of Europe. And so they set in motion the European Economic Community to be an extension of the Third Reich. So what we actually have in the European Union is this disastrous centralization of power, a federal superstate, a fascistic federal superstate. Unelected technocrats actually run it. The European Parliament is there, but it has no power. And now you have England saying it wants to get out. Now, England is one of the big three members, after all. So from the point of view of the European Union, its image around the world, when England, if England should quit, is obviously going to be seriously dented. Mm-hmm. And they are scared about that. There's no doubt about that they're scared about that. They're worried it might start the whole ball rolling and it might, the whole pack of cards might come down and every country might just simply get back out. And it is a possibility. I don't think it'll happen very fast, but I think it might start this ball rolling. So in that sense, the Brexit is extremely interesting.
Well, of course, some of the things that are going on behind the scenes is, and of course, I don't know a fraction of those things because they're kept in secret behind closed doors. But the Third Reich expanded into the Fourth Reich. It never stopped. It simply went underground. So they have since infiltrated all of American businesses at the highest levels, corporation CEOs. NASA was run by one of the Project Paperclip people, and they installed them. And I wouldn't be surprised if Monsanto was run by them, too. And they have basically taken over, and they're invisible. So there's that. And then they have high technology, which they've been developing since those early days when they were communicating with some kind of informational data bank or people who were guiding them to build flying saucers and weapons and the whole thing. Yeah. And they never stopped, and they were into the occult, and they were way ahead of us.
Yep.
So there's that, and it seems to me that the EU is one of the tiptoe steps of fascism that would be leading to the New World Order.
Yes, exactly that.
And
exactly
so,
that.
Yeah, and that's what's so frightening is that it's gotten so far.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are plans, backup plans, and alternate plans that if the EU doesn't work, they just simply eliminate it and they do something else. And that's the thing that is so worrisome because they'll do anything and they're ruthless. They could easily destroy the EU and everybody in it just to, override it and impose something even more austere.
I think that's absolutely correct. And we do know that there's no stopping this type of obsessive, psychopathic power.
There is absolutely no stopping it.
No, it's a force which exists, and it's a force which exists in the outer universe as well as on planet Earth.
Yes.
And in fact, as you and I have often discussed, the outer universe force informs the earthly force and gives it a certain amount of energy, I believe, to carry out its dark acts for it. So this is actually where the issue of today and our increased awareness, conscious awareness of our belonging to a bigger place than purely Earth becomes increasingly valid. Because we actually have to operate now on a multidimensional plane with our positive energy vibration. And that positive energy vibration will already start having an effect, I believe, and I think this is what you're also saying, on the source ground for the darker energies which are affecting planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we tackle them at source level, it's unlikely we're going to be able to make much progress on planet Earth. We'll be able to stall, to a degree, stall things, maybe slow things down.
Mm.
But to bring bigger change, I think it's only the development of mankind into the true spiritual beings that we actually are inside that will ultimately drive them off the cosmos zones in which they currently from which they currently operate.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And you know, the big question for most people is there going to be a parting of the ways somehow? And I've heard many different alternative views about how that could happen. But there, recently, I talked to one of my guests privately, and he said that the Earth has already is already operating out of 5D, and that she's busy creating, you know, with the rest of us, a new reality which has not yet quite formed. And so I was kind of skeptical about this whole 5D movement because another friend of mine says that the entire matrix that we are aware of is nine-dimensional and it's intergalactic, and it, you know, it runs all the galactic realms. And so I suspect that we have always been within some kind of galactic groups, numerous galactic civilizations, but isolated and kept dumbed down and ignorant of the fact that we are in them.
Ah, yes. Well said. That's a very interesting point.
And the,
are you aware of this Kesha Foundation work?
Yes.
Now, it seems to link with what you're saying, in a way. He is developing his free energy technology in a very unusual way. Actually, when people used to talk about free energy technologies a couple of 3 or 4 years ago, based on electromagnetic perpetual motion machines, I didn't favor it. And people were shocked and said, oh, you don't favor this? I mean, it's going to make a massive difference. Everyone's going to have free energy. You won't have to plug into any of the corporations and they'll all die and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look at the level of intelligence of most people. Look at where their interests are. They're interested in the material realm.
Yeah.
What's going to happen if you get free energy? You're going to get millions and millions more gizmos. You're going to get people leaving lights on all the time because you don't have to bother to turn them off because it's free. You're going to have absolutely the world completely seized up with technology because people haven't got the first idea how to respect the use of it. And I think I was probably right about that because the Kesha Foundation is saying, look, we can teach you how to build these machines, but actually you won't be able to build it unless you're more conscious than you currently are at the moment. In other words, they won't work. You can put them together, but they won't work unless you're coming at it from a certain angle. Now that's getting interesting. Now that's really interesting.
Yeah.
He's claiming all sorts of really remarkable things. I know this from a blogger in Poland, who's also a very good documentary filmmaker. And we do a lot of interviews with him. He lives in Krakow. And he was telling us the other day that the dimensions which are being worked on here are such that Kesha has claimed, and he apparently very scientifically, that they will be able to bring back genetically modified plants into their original natural condition again using this technology.
Wow. Well, that certainly doesn't bode well for the New World Order.
It certainly doesn't. So, you know, and also he's saying that he will be able to teach people to take their soul, transport to any part of the universe they wish to travel to and return again.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of linked in with what you were saying. That's why I interrupted it.
Well, that just seems like that should have happened a long time ago as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
And we've been stuck on stupid for so long and kept on antiquated forms of energy and ideas and belief systems that, as far as I can tell, the whole system of politics and religion and corporations is literally dying under our noses.
Yep.
And all they do is they project the idea that they're in control, that there's nothing you can do, and you're powerless to do anything. But the truth of the matter is they're dying and they're grasping for, you know, some new way to control us.
Yeah.
And so
that's so true.
Pushed the whole transhumanist agenda, the cyborg agenda, the cloning, which we know, you and I know, they've been doing for decades.
Now, we feel here, Jadwiga and myself, we've been for the last couple of months, really, that Poland's under some form of technological attack. Like HARP, for instance.
I mean, you know
how many different bits of gizmos there are now capable of virtually controlling people from any distance.
Oh, yeah.
Brainwave control and metabolism control, you name it, they've got it now.
Yes.
And they can target individuals this way if they so feel so inclined.
Yes.
What we feel is just basically a very strange energy, fluctuating type of energy, sometimes feeling very, very tired for no particularly good reason, you know. Other times our energy's up and it's all fine, and then you feel again. And I've actually adopted a particular phrase for it, which I call LLS syndrome. And it's lead leg syndrome, LLS. And it's like you're walking up a hill and your thigh muscles seem almost incapable of carrying you up the hill. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of this feeling going on. Chemtrails, more and more intense, but mostly at night now, because they've been, perhaps they're aware that people have become more aware of their existence during the daytime and are about to, someone's whistleblower is about to come up and blow the whistle on them. I don't know, but they're doing most of it at night. You get up in the morning and you find it's cloudy day and you look harder. No, chemtrails.
Well,
and
they're not
the
hiding.
Other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Go on. Okay,
well, they're
I'll
not hiding
this.
It here in California.
Okay, sure.
No. So go on.
The other thing is this, connected up with this, is the fact that Poland is now occupied. It's an occupied country. Now, it was called an occupied country under the Nazis, and it was called an occupied country under the Russians, of course, and prior to that by the Hungarian Empire.
Wow.
Not Hungarian, excuse me, the Austria. This was called the partitions. Poland was under the partitions for many, many, many years, hundreds of years. But it freed itself in 1989, and it's been, so to speak, a free country since then. However, it fell in love with the capitalist neoliberal Western model. And the consequence of that is that it's now an occupied country. And it occupied by who, people are saying? Well,
right.
I tell you, occupied by NATO. On the ground.
Oh, no, yeah.
And U.S. forces.
Oh,
we now have 30,000 in Poland. And it's all based on Russia. They're demonizing Putin here to the extent that you cannot hardly raise an argument in favor of him without being called a Russian spy.
Wow.
Now, that is pretty extreme, Lance. It's shocking what's going on.
Well,
and I've done an interview with this our colleague in Krakow already exposing this, and it got a lot of hits. It got actually about 32,000 on the video channel. But, you know, people are out there who are quite intelligent, and they've got the government in power that they thought they wanted and they thought was going to be good to the people and give them bigger welfare checks and look after children and promote marriage, and they are doing all those things. But at the same time, they're going on their knees to the USA and to NATO. I think this is all worked out. I mean, they're not on their knees out of their own feeling of fear necessarily. They've been told that's what you do, make it look like theater, because we are coming anyway, and we're going to occupy Poland, and we're going to put enormous pressure on Russia and China. And they have now got literally live missiles situated along the eastern border. And they're saying that, oh, it's not pointed at Russia. Oh, no, there's nothing to do with Russia. It's to do with Iran and Syria.
Oh, right.
You know, yes, you know, those countries are just, those are the ones that, these are the terrorist countries. That it's only to protect Poland and create a missile dome, which will prevent these missiles then landing up in the USA. So we've got this credible situation where we are literally becoming a war theater zone on behalf of NATO and the US and England and France particularly, you know, those countries. And then, to my mind, this push is the famous, what they call Third World War push. And it's coming right on our doorstep. We're living in amongst it now, and we're living in amongst people who are believing it and are absolutely sure that Putin's going to, you know, attack Poland again. There's absolutely no evidence for it at all.
Wow.
Yeah, nasty. Very nasty stuff.
It is nasty. and Putin has come out, as far as I have read, against GMOs. They're very advanced in metaphysics and all kinds of branches of the invisible sciences that here in America they are paid not to look into. And so he seems to have a humanitarian side that does not want to be owned by the Bilderbergs or the, you know, the IMF and the rest of it. And so I think that's a big thorn in everyone's side, because they can't have a new world order when you've got a few people who know what's going on and are fighting it.
That's
and
exactly
so he's
right.
demonized over here too. And then look at the political scene, theater, the comedy of errors here with Donald Trump, who is a, you know, just comes out and says, well, we've got to teach these people a lesson and go to war with Russia and kill these ones and put. I mean, he's really quite a loose cannon, and and then you have Clinton, who's part of the Bilderbergs and the Clinton dynasty and the you know, in with the Bush dynasty, and so it's like you turn one way and you see the devil, and you turn another way and you see Satan.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, it's an extraordinary situation now. It's reaching some form of a climax. I mean, there you are completely correct. You've got two sort of complete insanity bearers running for the position of the most powerful man on the planet, so to speak, in a country which is actually bankrupt, hugely bankrupt. Is already sort of sliding rapidly backwards, has a massive level of poverty, millions of people on food stamps, etc., but still has the largest army in the world, you know, and still has something like 900 military bases all over the planet, and one or two in every country in the world, and sometimes a hell of a lot more. And that is the only actual sort of physical presence which has an effect, genuine effect, on governments. Because what they do is they get in together with the embassies, the American embassies in all these countries, and they go to the governments in question and they start informing them about what they need to do in order to
Right.
And most unfortunately, you know, people are very naive and they think, oh, America's coming in and offering us help. They've got all this information, CIA and FBI and people, they know what's going on all around the world. And they say, if we don't do X, 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 we're going to be in big trouble. So, you know, that is the one power that they have left. And it's based on an image of having some, you know, it's based on the very basic standard, ancient type of macho image of he who has the power eventually wins.
Right.
And we're talking now on a completely other level. We're talking about power in a completely different realm of the subtle, and of the spiritual, and even to a degree. And I like this concept of the shamanic. You know.
Which
includes the warrior. We consider ourselves a bit in that field, more like the warriors. You know, we're sort of very much activists, but we operate on both the spiritual and the earthly plane simultaneously.
Well, that's
so
what
we're,
makes, yeah,
we're
that,
all conf- people like us, and you're one of them, are confronting this sort of bull-like object, which is only in the old power paradigm. And this is really where the separating of the ways is no doubt going to take place, because, you know, you ain't going to get anywhere with those bull people if you pursue them with the sort of subtle powers that we're interested in. But you can try to educate the public about the fact that things look a bit crazy, don't they, folks, you know?
Yes,
and then
yes.
start putting forward 1, 2, 3, 4 ideas about how we might be able to take some steps to get out of it. And I still think, the same as I did 3 years ago, that one should always try and do both things, you know.
Yeah.
To try and develop oneself on the spiritual consciousness level, when one must, actually, because we are that and we're blocked, so we have to free ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But simultaneously, we always have to have a hand out for people who are simply confused, don't understand what's going on, maybe people raising families, hoping for a nice future for their children, concentrating on, you know, being good mothers and fathers, whatever, trying to earn a living, no time to sit and think, just 9-to-5 jobs, you know, eking out their lives. We have to offer a ladder, a lifeline to those sort of people to get out of that state and to be able to get into one where they can actually take some controlling influence over their own lives. As that is, I think, the answer is for everybody. We have to try and do both.
Well, you know, I agree with you totally, because we are multidimensional beings and we operate in many dimensions simultaneously. So that part has been proven by scientists. The New Age and spiritual realms, that's been known for thousands of years. So one of the things I wanted to put a point on is that what we seem to be seeing with this fake war, just like we see fake, fake killings and, staged events that are actually false flags. They're really put on for show, is that there's going to be some kind of banking collapse, or it is some kind of imminent destruction of the banking system as we know it.
Yes.
And every time that happens, historically, isn't the solution to go to war, because that takes everybody's mind off of it. Mm-hmm. Billions and trillions of dollars go into the war machine, and let's face it, the industries that have been funded the most and made the most money are the ones that are developing technologies to kill people and spy and, nanotechnology and robots and the rest of it. DARPA is heavily into that stuff. And so they can't wait to test it all out. And I imagine that ties into the religious prophecies as well, that there will be, destruction and hellfire. And, a lot of people enjoy that kind of vision for the future, because they've been programmed to believe that, we deserve it, we shouldn't be here. And that's just conditioning and programming. We're actually beautiful beings of light, and we've just been kept in a kind of a living stupor. And if truth be told, those people who run the world are actually below us. And so I feel that your respect for the Polish farmer is indicative of the true nature of things, that the people closest to the land and that love the nature and the invisible realms that support us and have compassion are the true pioneers and revolutionaries. And we may have to come out and express that when the insanity of a control system that is running amok is basically destroying the entire planet and humanity with it.
Well, I think you put that extremely well, and I think it's exactly the right analysis. We've found over and over again, and actually when we get tired and rather exhausted and our minds are going slow, we only have to link up with one or two of our farmer colleagues to find ourselves greatly rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're finally talking to people, actual people. I was going to say we're talking to people who, and then I stopped and thought, we're actually talking to people. People who have their feet well and truly on the ground, and people who, as you absolutely rightly said, appreciate nature and work with nature, not always 100%, but certainly a lot with nature, and have a very fundamental sense of humility. And also very often very generous people.
Yeah.
Now, those qualities basically are missing from our inhumane society, as you correctly say. And therefore, just to really repeat what you said, they are perhaps the only people who are in a position to take the to build the foundation, which is going to be the lifeline into another reality, at the time when the ultimate collapse happens. Now, we're in a steady state of collapse. I've never been a great believer in it's all going to happen in 24 hours and we're all going to come out the other end and the light will be shining, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think we're in a state of steady collapse, which is likely to speed up and is likely to get pretty fast. And the finance is likely to be the very first one. The banking system is likely to be the first one to come down. And it's already showing signs of it. A number of smaller banks in Europe are going out of business. The amount of things you have to do to get your money in and out of a bank, if you want to do it over, for instance, the internet, you no longer can do it without a mobile phone in Poland. Now, we don't have a mobile phone, and Jadwiga does internet banking. So she's been told you'll have to go and buy a mobile phone to do your internet banking.
Oh, that's
what do you think of that? That's brilliant, isn't it? Once about 2 years ago, I tried to buy a ticket on a Swedish airline, and when I was filling it in on the form on the internet, it said mobile phone number, and then it had a star against it, and it said obligatory.
And I didn't have a mobile phone,
so I couldn't book the flight. So anyway, that's a bit of a sideline. But the point is that the banking system, which has, I believe, is now 10 times more, let's put it this way. After the famous 2008-2009 crash, when the subprime interest rate issue of people's housing loans not being paid back was the prime mover, now entire governments are borrowing from central banks, and they can't pay back their loans either. So you've got a situation actually where the situation is now multiplied by 10 from what it was in 2008-2009. In other words, the debt is 10 times as great. We're now getting into so many zeros that no one can keep track. And I don't think there can be any pretense that ever could they be paid back, which that means that the word bubble is a very good word.
Right.
There isn't anything else, you know. It's all electronically done. There's no money changing hands. And there's no money coming back into the banks again because they wiped so many people out 4 or 5 years ago that there's not enough money in the system to pay back the banks for the largest loans. And government itself can't even pay them back. Maybe by having a world war, they might make just enough money to pay back a bit. Yes, I agree with you about that.
Essentially,
the system is completely had it, and it's got to collapse. We've been saying this for a long time, and it still doesn't seem to want to do it. But it must be teetering on the brink as we speak, I think.
Yes. And the funny thing is, banks sweep the funds out of the... All the banks sweep the funds by computer every night, so there literally is no money in the banks. And my thought is that if I were a banker, I would think in this way. I would have all my banks, and I'm not trying to plant any ideas, but I would if we knew this was coming and we were bankers, I would simply sweep all the money out, grab everything you can, convert it to assets, and then when the banks close, I would open all the safety deposit boxes and clear them out, and people would be absolutely dumbfounded to lose their jewels and papers and secret stashes and whatever else they have hidden away in the safety deposit boxes, because they have the key. And so we think we're so safe. And your retirement funds, well, that's a joke. That's just an idea
really
that was
a joke.
Planted to keep you working in the system so that they'd have a chance to break you down with diseases and get you into the hospitals and then big pharma. Milk you from there. And, if they don't get you that way, well, then they've got 1,000 other different ways that you can fall down the ladder and not get up, like that lady. I'm falling and I can't get up.
Exactly. It's so true. I can't remember what that expression is now about that happened actually in Cyprus about 2.5 years ago. when the Cyprus government came to its clients, the people, in other words, and said, look, sorry, folks, but the banks are having a very tough time, and I'm afraid we're going to have to take some of your money in order to support them.
Right.
And I actually did it, you know, and they did it in Cyprus.
And negative interest rates.
Yeah, and that's right, exactly.
I don't know why everybody doesn't pull their money out of the banks. I mean, if you don't have $1 million to keep track of, and your mattress can't hold it all, then you're on the wrong side of the tracks anyway.
There might be quite comfortable mattresses made of sort of stuffed with you hear them made of wool and various things like that, but I've never tried one. Actually, it's a good idea.
Oh my gosh! So
Well, on the top of this one, we have now something called TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And CETA, Canadian version of it, trying to dismantle the European resistance completely. From this end, I'm looking at it now, fellow Americans. This is what's going on over here in Europe.
Yep.
They're trying to dismantle any type of resistance, in other words, any time of duty which would hold back things coming to Europe, tariffs on imports, holding back any tariffs on imports and trying to cut them all out. Now, if ye did this, what the first thing that would happen is the GMOs, which have been banned throughout the great majority of Europe in one way or another, it's a long, complicated story, would suddenly all have a free run. Because if you're not allowed to have a trading barrier, and if you're not allowed, if everything has to be one free trade global world, you haven't got the authority or the right to say, no, we won't have that product. Unless you can prove, and P-R-O-V-E in large letters, that it is somehow unsafe for human consumption. And of course, we all know that genetically modified organisms aren't unsafe for human consumption. Of course not. You know?
Right.
They're substantially equivalent, as they say in America, they're substantially equivalent to ordinary food. Ordinary food is already, of course, a very denatured, pesticide-polluted product, but never mind. They're substantially equivalent to that.
Right.
So what they're trying to do now, the TTIP, is in secret, and this is really factual, what I'm telling you, totally in secret. The European Union and the U.S. government are designing, and with U.S. corporations and, of course, the corporations in Europe, behind everybody's back, completely in secret, are working out a new form of trade, which is going to basically remove all these tariffs. And that means another sort of things that would get into Europe, which Europe doesn't like and has stopped up till now, are growth-promoted beef, for instance, which in the USA you use these genetically modified growth promoters. Right. Same with milk products, which also use genetically modified growth promoters in America, and they're banned in Europe.
Right.
And there's quite a lot of products like that, chlorine-washed chickens. That's illegal in Europe, but it's not illegal in America. They love chlorine washed chicken. It adds the flavor, you know.
Right.
And chlorinated chicken, delicious.
Mm,
so you can see here exactly. Wow, barbecue that one. So anyway, this is what's going on at this very moment in time. Behind everybody's back, they're doing this. And now, this is the other interesting thing about this one, that if there's a trade dispute, and of course there would be. They have set up secret courts to hear these. Mm-hmm. And none of the judges involved in this are ordinary trademark judges. They're special corporate judges. You've got a total virtual reality world being set up. Really incredible stuff. Literally another world being set up, which is going to be, if you like, pushed into place at a key moment. And all of a sudden, all the things that we thought were still our rightful liberties and our rights and all the rest of it will be simply removed. And we'll be told it's law, so there's no good arguing about it.
Yep.
America and the European Union decided on this. It's in the interests of everybody. You've got no say in this. So stealth by the back door is bringing this huge trading block centralized global corporate power base right into play as we are thinking that we're winning various individual battles,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like the GMO one, like the other one.
Right.
And I think just to simply, I told you this story and your listeners this story, just to reinforce the fact that what is actually happening, you know, demands our full attention if we wish to be aware and take action against it. Because if we are naive and don't understand, we will surely be trampled and
yes.
It'll be very hard to get up again.
We won't, I don't think.
We won't.
I think that'll be the last blow for
yes.
most people. And again, I'm leaving the door open for those people like ourselves that may be headed in another direction.
And there are more of them. There are more of them. If it's some people maintain that this is a cosmic game, I don't
yes.
think the game is the right word necessarily. It's
yeah.
a cosmic plan of some sort, which is by turning the screw more and more and more, people are forced to get in touch with a side of themselves which they probably would never bother to do otherwise.
Right.
And that is a sort of the scenario for those who are having refusal of consciousness, you know, deliberate
mm-hmm.
refusal of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look, don't want to know. If the thing it finally shows up right in front of one, and
mm-hmm.
the step you have to take to get out of it demands, is a voice coming out of your deeper being saying your survival is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the voice of your survival. And that voice directs these people towards some of these arcs, which we call ourselves, which you mentioned very adroitly, I thought, earlier in the program about
mm-hmm.
farms and people
mm-hmm.
who are more aware, coming together and establishing their little groups
mm-hmm.
on the land. We call these arcs, like Noah's arcs.
Yes, yes.
The voice in people who have refused to make the step might be telling them, you better get in touch with some of these arcs, and you better get involved in helping them, because that's everything else is finished. So, you know, it could be that all the horrors that we perceive of as being a very, very extreme form of cruelty, a form of absolutely stubborn level of hate, fear, psychopathy, and all the rest of it, are the reflection of a power which sees no other way to wake up humanity.
Well, that certainly puts a little positive spin on something that could be seen in a much more negative light or
yeah.
dark.
yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to mention is that there are people like Jacques Fresco, who has been working for decades on the Venus Project, which operates an entirely different system of resource-based economy. And so we have solutions. There are other ones. I'm not saying that's the only one. But he has he's a visionary, and I think that he has some really wonderful ideas. And, there are solutions to everything, but we have to take steps to implement them.
Yep.
And it starts from ourselves.
Yeah.
So
exactly right. Starts from ourselves.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the big lesson, actually, that it starts from ourselves. I think we have obviously been duped into believing that we are the last people who can do anything,
mm-hmm.
and the first people who can do something are the people in power, in quotes. And this, of course, is an ancient agenda,
mm-hmm.
and it's wrapped up with religion. And we've been taught to believe that there's someone called God, and there's various priests and high authorities within religion who have access to the will of God and who explain it to ordinary people. And if ordinary people then follow this explanation and do what they're told, there's a chance they might be saved at the end of the day. Now, for how long has that been in operation? This is a form of mind control.
Yes.
Which started thousands of years ago.
Thousands.
And many thousands of years ago.
Many thousands. Hundreds of thousands.
Yep, sure. And the point is, it's so ingrained that we are actually the last people to believe that we might be able to do something which is superior to the people who claim to be the ones who are the experts.
Yes, absolutely right. That's brilliant, because throughout time, we don't really know the true civil history of our planet and the nature of the ET visits that have been here and the ET wars, but I think that the gods who have visited in Roman times, in Egyptian and Sumerian and Hindu and Atlantean and Lemurian were alien. They were ETs. Mm-hmm. And so when they came to this little group of humans that were largely ignorant and unconscious, they were the gods. And we still worship the gods because they knew how to establish hierarchies and, you know, keep us subjugated. So this is an old story, but I think many people are beginning to question that and are moving away from the old.
I think that's right. I mean, and then, you know, you have, like, say, Trump and Clinton, and, you know, there you have maybe the sort of final episode.
Yeah.
And when people look up and say, oh, my God, are these the authority people that are going to run the show now? They look a bit like clowns. You know, I can't really believe that they'll do a good job for America.
Right.
And someone else says, well, you know, you could be right, honey. Maybe we should have a look around and see what other people think.
Yes, very good.
Because it's only literally when the clowns come out, and of course very dark, very dark faced clowns, I have to say.
Oh, very dark, yes.
That final realization comes. Well, you know, people are on all different. There's many shades of gray, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there are many, many different shades of gray, and people are at all different levels of developing development and awareness and sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly true to say that the power of the human being is just beginning to make itself felt in more than just a few people. Now, I think you read many of the wiser people who've lived over in the world over the last 300 or 400 years, and they've always said a very small group of people have always been the ones to make very big change. It's only, you know, sometimes one person, someone like Gandhi, for example, you know, has done a massive amount, and it's always been very few people. While it remains only very few people, while those very few people can do miraculous and wonderful things, I can think of very few examples which weren't ones where those people had huge followings. And the followings mostly were from people who felt, this man's my God, this man's my guru, this man's my leader.
Uh-huh.
They weren't saying to themselves, I have this type of power in me too.
Right.
I'm going to develop. And maybe this is the first time in our planet's long history that this could become more than just a few people. This become a larger rising of consciousness amongst a great many people. And we'll reach that famous tipping point where 10 or 15% of the population of the planet suddenly realize that they have the power to take their destiny into their own hands.
Yeah.
And start creating a new society, completely new society, a new game on another pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the great turning point when it happens. And we feel, I think, in our blood and in our bones that we are getting closer to that. And that is the sustaining and exciting element about living today.
Indeed. Well, Julian, you're with your usual eloquence, you have just said one of the most beautiful statements that I've heard recently. And I agree with you totally. And I think that's a good place where we actually need to leave off, because it's a high note. And, you know, this will be a show that people will want to hear at least twice, because there's
that's splendid news.
Yeah.
I always say about my essays that people should read them three times.
Well, Julian, I want to thank you for coming back again, and it's always just a delight to talk to you. I could just go on forever, and thank you for all you're doing, and thank you for sharing so much with us tonight.
Well, the feeling's mutual, Lance, as I think you know.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to speak with you again. And I greatly look forward to the next time.
I do, too. All right. Good night, Jillian, and good night, everybody.
Good night.